What's up, Dutch Nation? Today's podcast, oh man, special guest, a true Grants Pass OG, Mr. Jackson Luckin joined us on the red couch. Started off as a night guy, then transitioned into the mob. He's back in Grants Pass, managing DB Shop 001, the original Dutch Bros location, downtown Grants Pass, Oregon. Good conversations, talk about finance, personal growth, goals for the future, and the legendary 270 Sycamore Drive House, a place deep-rooted in Dutch Bros history. So sit back and enjoy Mr. Jackson Luckin's podcast.
Welcome to the Dutch Bros podcast. Brant Boersma here. I will be your host. Alongside with me is the one and only Shane Tappan.
Hello.
He is no longer an intern. He actually gets paid now.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
But we got someone else special here today. His name?
Jackson Luckin.
Mm. I wasn't going to say his last name. No. Right, we'll do it again. Ready? One, two. His name?
Jackson Luckin.
Okay, we just...
It's fine. No, Jackson, just tell us who you are and what you currently do at Dutch Bros.
I'm actually the manager downtown Grants Pass at store number one.
DB001.
001, the little shack. A little bit about me. I've been working with Dutch for about 5 years, and I grew up in California, but moved to Oregon in 2009 and then went to high school here.
How did you get a job at DB? You were in high school when you got hired.
Just fresh out of high school, summer out of high school.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked at Dairy Queen, actually, going to
Love Me a Blizzard.
A-Town all the time, and I would check in there every morning. Got to know a lot of the guys that were working there, and Chris Trillia, actually, was the
Triggy.
One who approached me. He was working nights there. He was a mobster then, and he was like, dude, you should try to get a job here, and I was like, well, I'm here every morning.
Mocha's
I was getting
all
a large hot white chocolate mocha every morning as the drink. I mean, Dutch has just always been a part of my routine coming to Oregon. And then going to high school, I was just the punk kid that would come through and get a blended Rebel every day, too. So always been around Dutch.
You were a drummer. Are you still?
Oh, yeah.
You still
marching
drum?
Man.
Mm-hmm. We have a drum set in here. Can we do that real fast? Can you get on the drums, prove it?
Do you want me to?
Yeah, I mean, just real quick. Let's just see. Because I don't believe you.
For real?
Yeah, let's just do it real fast.
They're not mic'd up or anything.
No, but you'll be able to hear it through our mics, right?
Let's go, Nick Cannon.
Come on.
Let's drumline that.
Drumline.
Oh, man.
Yeah, all right.
Hot off the set. His name's Jackson Luckin, and you guys, he is coming out with some Beats by Jackson. Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. I can tell.
Yeah.
Wow. You never really played on the whole set, though.
I played a little bit, but more so Marching Band stuff.
Yeah.
You're in the band. So was Clayton. He was on here
good old
a while
Clayton.
Ago. He is one of the first people I remember coming out of high school getting hired at the coffee house.
Yeah.
With him being close to you, did that influence you to try to get a job? It's like, oh, Clayton did it. I'm going to try to do it as well.
Oh, yeah. Great story behind that. So Clayton went to the coffee house.
Mm-hmm.
He always closed. So I'd go in, hang out with Clayton every single night. And not once did he give me a free drink. And I hung out with him every night.
And you've been friends with him for a long time.
He's my best friend of all time.
It's good. You know, you should give free drinks to the people that need love, not to the ones that love you already.
I needed it. I was there from 5 to close.
You needed pain.
Monday through Friday, and he never gave me one.
Hats off to you, Clayton Martin, wherever you are.
Seeing Clayton work and just seeing how happy and full of life he was. And, I mean, finding a job that you love work, I mean,
it's awesome.
Dairy Queen was cool and all, but I mean, you didn't have the same passion for
it. At Dairy Queen, did you get free like blizzards and stuff?
No, man. They would they'd give you a deal to where you could charge it to your check.
Full price?
So if you charge it to your check, you get half off. But so you would get your check and be like, man, I have that much to eat.
Now, dang, I had 74 blizzards. How does that?
Oh my!
I actually owe money. How is this real?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got hired. You're working nights at A-Town.
Yeah. And no one had gotten hired after me for another year. So I was just the night guy.
Dude.
My first day was with Jeff West, and he was showing me the ropes. Shot me out a shotgun, my first Rebel. And
wow.
Yeah, and then like a week later, I was on nights.
So how long were you there for?
I was at the A-Town shop for about a year. I could probably count like 5 morning shifts in my first 9 months at Dutch Bros. I mean, it was old school then. You had managers. Yeah. I've been there for 10 years. They would open Monday through Friday. Yeah. We would only rock two on in the morning, so usually it'd be another person than the manager. I learned how to clean the freeze real good. So
heck yeah.
I was feeling almost stagnant. I was just wanting to grow more than nights. And at my stand in particular, we had a couple people that were had been there for years, honestly, and they were like kind of the vets, and there wasn't a ton of room for me to grow.
Yeah.
Ended up talking to my manager, and Mason Smith actually was the manager of Hillcrest. Kind of worked a little deal out to where I could transfer up to Hillcrest. And then that's when I started kind of working mornings and noons and got to like work at a busier stand, and there wasn't as many vets there, so I got a little more opportunity than when I was at A-Town. It's like the third busiest shop in Grants Pass, and when I was there, it really pushed me from coming from a small stand. You know, you're running, and that was before we had texting, so like you're literally, you were on shots, and then you'd run out the back, you run back in.
Get that order.
Yeah, you would just, you were hustling, you were really working for it.
Making moves.
And so, I mean, working under Mason taught me like probably the most in my Dutch Bros career, just about like in the stand, like most growth there. He later went on to manage the downtown shop, and so Lance hit me up and told me we were doing mob interviews, and I like just hit my year mark, so that was my goal, you know. I was I really wanted to do it. Saw Triggy and all those guys.
When did you start making goals?
Oh gosh, it was actually with you.
Oh, interesting.
Brant invited a group of us young fellers over. Honestly, I was about 6 months in, and just to know Brant Boersma was the craziest thing in the world.
Oh, watch out.
So he invited us over to his house, and we did a 6 months, 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, just limitless goals. And so that was the beginning of it, you know, and then kind of developed a little more into like work ones and personal ones and relational ones, MERPs kind of. So I started doing goals. I mean, I didn't have a single goal before Dutch Bros. One of the goals was to get on the mob, and I got lucky enough to get that opportunity at like a year, and there was only 12 of us. And then yesterday, dude, I found out there's 60-something.
Yeah, I think there's more. Isn't there like 76?
Yeah, 76 or something
Insane.
Like that?
Insane. That journey was wild. So I did that for another 9 months. And so what that looked like was my very first shop I opened was Vegas, the first store in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a new shop. Yeah, and we did a month long there. So we were there from June 3rd to July 3rd.
Yeah.
And it was an epic experience.
Yeah.
It was a lot of growth.
Your whole Dutch career was only, up to that point, was only in Grants Pass.
Yeah. The thing about Vegas was there, it was the first shop in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So there's no Dutch. I come from where it's the home of Dutch Bros. Barely any first timers in Grants Pass.
Yeah.
Everyone knows, honestly, the beginnings, the culture. They know what to expect. In the first 2 weeks, we were just training, but training employees that have never even known Dutch. Like, they just got hired at a new business in their mind, and they have no idea our culture. So trying to teach someone culture is, it's tough. You almost just have to live it. Also, teaching them, like, recipes and all that is, it's a pretty intense process when you're first getting started. So it was a wild experience for me.
Yeah. So then you came back home then for a
little
bit of time?
Yeah, so I came back home, I think, honestly, just for a week. And then Josh and Sam asked me to go to Yakima, Washington.
Yeah,
there it is.
And they told me 2 weeks at first and turned into 2 months. Going from a young man to a man, I think, most influential time of my life.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Come on now.
You know what I mean? Like,
come on.
Got a lot to learn here.
So. Getting to spend 2 months with Josh and Sam, like,
awesome,
changed my life.
Yeah.
They have so much wisdom and experience between the two of them. With Dutch Bros and just life in general.
Yeah.
Seeing them work in an area like Yakima and getting Emily, who's now the franchisee up there, getting her so set up, like, it was incredible to be able to, like, do that with them.
Awesome. And
I think that's what ended up setting me up to manage in the future. So,
how long were you on the mob for?
I was on the mob for 9 months, and 6 of those months I was on the road.
It's crazy.
So I did a month in Vegas. I did 2 months in Yakima, and then opened Dixon, Anderson, and went to a couple like Idaho and Arizona.
And that's the crazy thing about the mob now. It's like when I talk to these mobsters, they're like, oh, yeah, I was there for a few days. I was there for like a week.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
I had to be there for like 2 months.
Well, because we had 12, and you know, and that was when we changed to Nuco, and like shops were just opening.
Pumping
so you'd get home for a week, and then you'd go for a month, you know. So 6 out of those 9 months, I was traveling.
Yeah,
that was the perfect time of my life to do it.
Throughout that all experience, you're getting exposed to different cities, different customer base, different even leaders in the company and stuff. And then from there, you went into management, correct?
Yes. Mason, actually, later on ended up hiring me as his assistant at downtown because he was heading to Colorado soon.
Yeah.
So he was like, hey, this is a really good opportunity for you to like not just jump straight into management, mm-hmm. but it's probably going to be your fastest track.
Yeah.
And he's always looked out for me and my future. And
why?
So, I don't know. Honestly, no clue. And then turn of events happened to where Jared Elsmore, who's the manager at A-Town, ended up flip-flopping with me. So I actually went back to A-Town, which was my home stand, and got to manage for the first time at the stand that I got hired at.
Jackson actually was my assistant manager at one point.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I was hired by Mason, and then this kid was his assistant, Jackson Luckin. I remember my first day was training with Jackson. I was nervous because I was on milk, and Mason is notorious for just beating down like his new employees. But then I'm expecting this guy's just about to do the same thing. But Jackson's the nicest person to ever work with.
What happened?
I don't know.
Come on.
Not being an assistant anymore now. It's just full time. Yeah. It's on you.
Just me. It was wild because, yes, it was at the stand that I first got hired at, but things were so different, you know, and a lot of the same customers. But going from stands like Vegas and Dixon to where they're doing like almost 10 grand a day, and then you come back to a shop that's way slower. Yeah. And so it's a big change in pace, really, trying to learn how to slow that back down. And it's all about being more intentional with your people and your customers compared to like doing the masses when you're on the road. And then Kenny and Danielle went on to franchise at Coos Bay, and Kenny was the manager at Agnes. And then they had asked me to go to Agnes, which is our busiest location in Grants Pass, just to kind of have some experience manager over there. That's where you really get the both experiences. You have A-Town, which is a slower stand where you're investing more like just personal time with your crew and your customers.
Right.
Just honestly just talking for hours to people. And then you get to Agnes, and it's a big change of pace on the side of like, man, I'm focused more on speed and quality. And then like the service is the speed. And that's where it's more of a, hey, have a really great day. Genuine smile. Here's the perfect cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That's like their service. And then I was there for another 6 months and got to come back to downtown. And that's where I'm at right now. I've been managing downtown for another 6 months.
I know just from conversations with you that you've had a lot of opportunities to, of people like saying, hey man, come manage for us or come be a regional or come, you know, do all this stuff. What's it like working at the original stand? And then what keeps you there?
Downtown is special because it's not our busiest location, but I feel like it has the most attention needed. We've had regulars that come through since 92, you know, and they expect the same culture, but they're also like kind of evolving with texting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So getting to be a part of growth with the OGs is kind of the cool challenge. Yeah. But when I had gone down there, the reason they asked me to go downtown was HQ was moving from Merlin to a block away from downtown. And so I think the opportunity to also kind of step up and make sure that OG customers are taken care of, but also everyone at HQ, which is what, probably 300 people now, which is wild.
There's 1,000, but it's fine.
1,000. And going down there, the expectation was, hey, like, you have 10 employees and there's 300 HQ people coming down and they're not going to have a bar in their building. So they're all going to come down here and get free drinks. So that was kind of terrifying at first. And getting to take on that opportunity has been like the biggest challenge of like, not only did I have to hire and train, I think just about everyone on my crew is under a year. So they're learning like the culture still. Mm-hmm. And they're also trying to keep up with HQ's awesome crazy drinks people. Of quarter all sweet this and
they're like, all the like, yeah, can I get a half sweet split shot
almond milk
fireball
Cubano
jeez
but Mark no, Berry, but that has pushed me but to see how my crew being so new has picking up on it so fast is inspiring you know because it's taken me like 4 or 5 years and it's still kind of pushing and then to see people that are a year in just thriving and remembering names and drinks. Like, they know everyone's names and drinks at HQ and our customers. And that's so impressive because that takes a long time to, like, get under your belt.
No doubt.
But I think to your second part is what keeps me here is you feel the change happening and the culture is so strong. I think when I would go mob, the hardest part was you had to pour so much out and try to explain and exemplify the culture. And then when you're here in downtown in Grants Pass, like, you're still doing that, but you're also receiving it. Yeah. You're receiving it from the 300 people at HQ that are on the same page as you. You're experiencing it from the customers that, you know,
or the day oneers.
The day oneers, yeah. Your dad and Trav. And so yeah, I think with that, knowing that I also have the biggest support system in all these people I've grown relationships with, mm-hmm. is what's kept me here. Because I'd love to go and experience new places and try to manage and take on that challenge. But just knowing the support system here and the challenge I still have here is what kind of keeps me around.
Yeah, I had a personal vendetta, a campaign, maybe you'd call it, this last year at Coachapalooza. It was basically like, let's get Jackson Luck and a lady.
Oh, boy.
You're welcome.
Thank you. It worked.
But no, we did use you for... to talk about just some financial stuff. Obviously, now that you have a lady, you have no money.
that was my secret.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't have a girlfriend, so it was easy. I didn't want to go out to dinner all the time and stuff.
PB&J.
Growing up the way you did and kind of getting to where you're at now, how did you set aside?
Just to get a little bit of my childhood history in there, is I grew up like, not like dead poor, but like we didn't have much. Mm-hmm. My mom was a single mom. My dad lived in Oregon and I have an older brother. Yeah. And so we were always moving house to house because someone would come in and either buy it or they'd be a more qualified renter or tons of stuff really that like shaped my childhood. But I mean, the bottom line was like, we didn't have much, but that didn't matter. It was so much more about like our family and that we were happy and money didn't factor that. What matters in life? And to me, it was family, my friends, and my relationship with God. So money really, since day one, hasn't been like a make it or break it thing for me, which I think has helped a ton growing up. There was a period in my life where, because I didn't have much growing up, I kind of splurged, you know, like, oh right. man, I do have money now. And that's when I was still living at home, working in Dutch, and I was making like 20 to 30 bucks a day in tips. And mm-hmm. back then you buy a new pair of Vans Authentics, you know, and
there you go.
So you'd work a shift, you'll buy a new pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. And so I spoke about that at Coacho, which was, I mean, really, I think a byproduct of my upbringing being like, man, I never had much. And now I can just spend it on whatever. But then that became my like idol almost of like, man, spending and mm-hmm. living for myself. Once I kind of shook out of that and I moved out and I had all these bills suddenly and all that.
That temptation's always going to be there, you know what I mean?
For sure.
It just feels, it's fun to get new stuff, you know? And
especially when that's when you find your validation off of.
Totally. And I think there's something about when you were single, you know, you...
Come on, man.
No, but truth though, I mean, you didn't care what you looked like, you know?
I didn't.
And so I feel like that kind of helped. You never got haircuts.
What was wrong.
You didn't have any soap.
What in the world?
Shampoo.
I borrowed Shane's. Oh, my goodness.
You didn't care about brushing your teeth.
What?
You just chewed on sticks.
Oh, my gosh.
I think this was a cool thing that Mason kind of started getting everybody going on, is like, you buy and sell cars. Mm. You know, and I think that it's something cool that like there's ways to go and create, you know, more funds to come in.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, and so I think that was one of the things that was so impressive is A, you started putting money aside and stopped splurging on yourself. But
yeah.
How is it now with a lady, though? It is harder, huh?
It's the same thing. It's balancing. So mm-hmm. I think when it goes back to like when I first moved out and I had bills now,
adjusting.
And cars and all that, it's like, whoa, I can't do this anymore. I have to like make sure I have money set aside mm-hmm. in case emergencies happen. And so it started there. And then, I mean, it just evolves. It always evolves, you know? And to where it's at now with the lady, it's like, I just got to budget an extra bill of food on top.
When you put in effort, it's nice to have reward, to be rewarded for it, you know? And so I like to reward myself on Saturdays, you know, like for when it comes to like eating and even splurging financially and stuff, you know, totally. It's like Saturday's my day. Those kind of things, I feel like it's something you do have to learn. You do have to adapt to, you know, because your life is always going to be changing. It's constantly changing, hopefully with growth and stuff. Totally. And so what next for Jackson Luckin?
That's a question I've been asking myself a lot. I mean, I do love where I'm at. I'm super blessed, to be honest. Like, the fact that I'm 22, I get to manage the first stand.
Magical year, man.
In Grants Pass. Like, I still kind of get mind-boggled, but I think that's something I've always been hard on myself with, too, is, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
And trying not to take away from the moment I'm in, but I think that's just what we do as humans is, okay, what's next, whether it's mm-hmm. work or life. Regional operating now is, like, my dream. That's always been the goal since I got hired. Actually, listening to Caleb Berkey's podcast was what inspired me to want to be
that franchisee.
Just being able to hear his story, honestly, is kind of what I want mine to be similar to. Being a regional one day would put me in a great spot to do that, or maybe lead mob, or maybe even just where I'm at, doing a good job and staying faithful to what I've been entrusted with.
So. What inspires you today?
God. My lady pushes me a lot, but just wanting to make sure that I'm bringing glory to God in everything that I do really is what keeps pushing me, because I've been managing for 2 years now, which, I mean, to some people that's like nothing, and to some people that's a crazy long time. Yeah. But for me, it's like, okay, I think like I got most of this under control, but I don't feel stagnant. I don't feel like I'm not growing anymore. It's because it's more of like, how do I make everyone else around me like better than me. I'm so much more invested in like, okay, I'm in a great spot. People have helped me along the way. You, Lance, Mason, Josh, like countless people have just pushed me and helped me. So now how can I be that avenue for other people? That's what's inspiring, to see other people light up when they get a new position or they get an opportunity. It's like ultimate cup filler.
That's cool, man.
Sorry, kind of legendary.
Bro, it is.
Yeah,
it's just fun diving in. Well,
how about, can I, let me ask this, because it's, you and Shane live together.
Yeah.
And yeah, Sycamore you live at 270 Sycamore, which is a
if you, historical
home.
If honestly,
shout out Jonah.
I want to.
Jay
If you showed the list of people who live there,
legends.
It's unreal.
It's a story of legends.
Legends.
That's where legends are made. Jonah's house.
Yes, like Jonah probably is not even aware of how many lives he's shaped.
No, man.
Just by simply renting that house up to all those knuckleheads. Yeah.
I've been there almost 5 years.
Yeah, this isn't really common knowledge, but Jonah, my brother, he has a house in Grants Pass that he has rented out for pretty cheap to a lot of Dutch Bro employees here locally.
Over the years,
it's been for years. He initially lived there, and then when he went to go operate in Eugene, he rented it out. Mark, you live there?
Yeah,
I think I'm the only one in the room that hasn't lived there.
Yeah, I live there. Mark,
I've been there though. I had to help clean it out when he moved out.
Me, Mark, Jack. Both the Garrett brothers, Christian Gervais, Matt Froslin,
Maddie Fro, Zach Wicks,
yeah.
Dude,
Cody King.
Sean
DeLay.
Sean DeLay, yeah.
Kenya was there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sammy Kane was there.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Matt Darcy.
Man. Everybody lived there, dude.
Anthony Strange is coming up. Wow.
So, okay, let me ask you guys this.
Yeah.
Is it really haunted?
Honestly, bro, I hear stuff.
Dude, okay, because I'm not like, trip on this. When Jonah bought, when he bought the house, we kind of had to tore out the carpets and all that stuff, and there was some weird stuff written on
bro,
the
don't
ground.
Say
under,
that.
I'm not lying, under the carpets.
We found a time capsule.
There's a there's a time capsule built in the garage, built into the
when
floor
is it,
of the garage.
When was it put in?
1980.
Yeah, it was in the 80s, but it's like a code.
Yeah, it's like a locker code, but into the ground.
Into the ground. I don't know what's in there.
Have you not Googled how to pick a locker code?
I feel like
code?
It's bad luck.
Dynamite.
Open that thing.
Which room is your room? Was it the old orange room?
No, that was...
So it's the corner room.
Mine's the corner room.
That's the room, bro.
The corner room. There's this rat that somehow got into the house and it tore through the plastic and ate a bunch of creatine and protein, like powder mix.
And pills.
So, and like pills. Yeah. And like muscle pills, like pre workout pills. So we have like this jacked up rat, like Master Splinter.
Come around, he's like,
Master Splinter.
Splinter.
But back on track. We have these young baristas coming up, like you said, that you have a lot of people who've been there less than a year.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to a younger barista who just got out of high school, that's trying to do the same thing, that has goals like to join the mob, be an operator? Mm-hmm. Like, what advice would you give to a young, hungry barista who wants to take that next step?
What I'm doing with my crew right now, because have about 50-50. Half of them are super inspired to want to be Muffin Dutch, and then another 50% of them are so into like what they're into, and that to me is the coolest thing.
Yeah. We have
a guy that wants to be a chef, a guy that's honestly on track to be a brain surgeon, and then we got guys that have been here for like under a year that like they know that Dutch is their path, and I know that feeling because I felt the same way, and I think a lot of people almost feel silly for it, and you don't need to because it's definitely not out of reach. Because when I got hired, every manager had worked for 10 years, every regional was like there since day one, and the opportunity of moving up in Grants Pass especially, I thought would never happen.
It's slim.
And so I kind of always share my story with people, and like time should never be the differentiator between you and someone else, because I feel like I did it faster than most people, and it's because of my drive and my work ethic, and that will take you in any company, work ethic and drive. I think if you want to move up in Dutch Bros, what I've found to be my biggest asset is being available and just working the hardest. I was always down to do whatever, whenever, for whoever. It wasn't that they were a big dog. It wasn't that they were someone that I knew was going to help me promote me. It was for the trash guy. I would run his drink out on Saturdays because I know what he got. You know, we've always talked about being a servant leader a lot, but if you really want to move up in Dutch Bros, it's doing that without expecting any recognition in return. And then if you don't want to move up in Dutch, like use every tool and asset you have to like try to get to where you want to go. You know, ask the right questions, be around the right people. Just surrounding yourself with like great people will take you so far in this company.
It'll take you so far in life.
Yeah.
I think that the number one killer of growth is just complacency. It's cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on this comfy couch with us.
Thanks for having me.
Last question, just to close it out, be done with it. Are you still going to be a Cavs fan when LeBron's playing for the Lakers?
And or Rockets or Sixers or Portland or
LeBron James is the best basketball player to ever play the game. I'll root for whatever team he's on.
Wow, man. That's the truth.
Boom.
Go. All right.
Right on.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Okay, go back to sleep.